bringing you the very best music from film, television, and video games. This is the Cinematic Sound Radio Show on demand.
The Oscar goes to
Ludovic Bourse.
Indeed. And a very worthy winner at that. And probably one of the classiest acceptance speeches as well. In addition to the clear and humbling affection he showed to his fellow film composer nominees on the way to the stage. It was great, wasn't it? Hello, it's good to be back here again at Cinematic Sound. I'm Tim Burden, and welcome to another Film Music Mix special. The Artist is a film that has enraptured audiences all over the world with its charm. It's not hard to see why, but if you look at the premise, you kind of think to yourself, you know, how did they ever get the funding? You know, the premise is kind of risky, isn't it? Just over 90 minutes of no dialogue, music-driven, and in black and white. Essentially, a love song to the silent era of cinema. Just as Michel's film was a hark back to a more innocent age, Ludovic Bourse's symphonic score reminds us of the reason we fell in love with film music in the first place. The golden age of European maestros that formed the Hollywood sound have been well and truly saluted with this multi-award-winning score. And Ludovic would admit this quite openly, as you'll soon hear. I chatted with the French composer just after his BAFTA win when he was in London, and this Cinematic Sound Film Music Mix special showcases just that, with generous selections of his music, but you'll also hear some of the music that Ludovic drew influence from, including the much-talked-about Scène d'Amour from Vertigo. So expect Kim Novak on line one. First and foremost, congratulations on winning the BAFTA and for the many other nominations. You've got some IFMCA nominations too, and they're announced soon, and of course the Oscars. And are you enjoying all this attention?
Yes, for sure. You know, it's just unbelievable for me to receive this fantastic and fabulous BAFTA award by the Academy of England. So I was very touched by everybody, and it was a fantastic evening for me. So thank you so much, BAFTA, for this fabulous prize. I'm so proud of me and
them. Of course, there was so, I mean, it was a great atmosphere that night, wasn't it? Because there was literally, it pretty much scooped every award, didn't it?
Yes, but you know, we didn't expect anything of what's happening. And for the with Michel, the director, first, we start the process of the creation of his movie and my music. After, we just have we had many problems. We are oppressed by to finish the film in time for the last film festival of Cannes, to give a chance for a little exposition in on the film business. So it was we were oppressed by time. So. For me, all these recognitions are grateful and feel me proud. So I feel strong to continue my best for serve the music and maybe collaborate with the film industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it, isn't it? I mean, because the only way it is up, as the famous song goes. Can you chat about the compositional arc of your score? You know, it's really quite a feast for the ears. And you did know about this project almost about 10 years ago, hadn't you? So had you written some sketches of musical ideas already, or did you have like the usual sort of few months to put your work?
If I understand, and stop me if it's not just after the first movie of Michel, because in 1999 he spoken to me. It was 15 or 16 years ago. At the period, I was excited by this incredible experience. But make a silent movie for many, many, many people at this period was very around Michel and me, friend of us. They were very shocked by this kind of project. But 11 years after, Michel realized his dreams to make a silent, but. just to begin the processes of the creation, for there wasn't a crazy producer to make this kind of thing. So Michel met Thomas Langman, the French producer, who is crazy too put his all his money on this crazy project.
Was there a lot of fine tuning and refining at the last minute, sort of to meet the Cannes deadline? Did you have to change much music at all, or was it quite a rush to the finish line?
In fact, I follow Michel when he start to cut the film. I start at the same time to follow him. Our collaboration is very, very, very close, so because Michel needs very sooner music. It was very hard because when Michel could edit sequences or part of many sequences, the narrative blocks, so I received just after a sort of editing, and Michel said to me, okay, do what you want. After four days after to I proposed him my music, but when I finished my musical sequences, Michel every day, each time he said, "Okay, Lou, I already changed these same sequences, so you must to recreate because now you had 9 minutes of music, and now I forget or I cut 3 minutes, so." It was very crazy and impossible to finish in time for the every day. So I'm sorry, but it's the technique of Michel as an ambitious. He needs music.
So Michel was very much actually cutting the film to your music, which is, I suppose, a great gift for a composer, isn't it?
Yes. But I could die every day for this movie. So I don't know if it's already a gift, but you know, I'm not a famous composer. I'm a young composer. I just made 5 soundtrack. And Michel imposed me. Is it correct? Imposed me? No, I don't know. Yes, for about the French. The French producer, because Ludovic Bourse is not famous, so they wanted another composer, international composer. So Michel defend me every day for me in this project. So it was very very. Very hard. This it was dramatical, in fact, because Michel, he know exactly why I was the only person to accept this processus of back and forth for the editing. You know, That's what I said just before. I worked at the same time as the editing. So I'm devoted to serve him at best I can. So to serve him, the comedian, the technicians, music film is only a compromise. So what can I say about the gift of the artist? It's only it was very dramatical, very hard, and only a compromise.
Paid off beautifully, and you know, it's a declaration of love to the great composers of great Hollywood films. Yeah. And I know you've been quoted as saying that, and it's so clear. But I'll not dwell on the Herman Vertigo music because I know it's been widely discussed already. But for you as a composer, naturally you have to follow a chain of command. But is there a time where you, as an artist, have to assert your feelings and opinion?
Well, you know, for us, the love scene of the maestro was used very, very sooner as a temporary track because there often had been test projection without music. So, and I knew, and each composer knew. What is a temporary track? You are condemned when a temporary track comes. But I knew that it would have been impossible to beat such a masterpiece as Scène d'amour. So in fact, the original name is in French. The Scène d'amour was watched by Bernard Herrmann. So I composed, created my version, who is in the CD. It's called My Suicide, and it's dedicated to the director. So in Retinal Sea, this sequence, the music of Hermann is above the images. Especially, it's a fantastic honor to pay a tribute to the master of Bernard Herrmann, and that's it. Bernard Herrmann is a genius, and I'm just a Ludovic Bourg, so there is no comparison. If it's correct comparison, or it's impossible to compare this master, maestro, and me. So the best final for these sequences, and for Michel, it's a tribute, pay an honor to the fantastic, the wonderful Bernard Herrmann.
Yeah, and I like the, yes, you dedicated track 23, so My Suicide, that's dedicated then, yes, to Michel's birthday, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the birthday of Michel, yeah. You.
Very sweet.
Thank you.
The actual CD listening experience, like away from the film, it does flow perfectly. I mean, did you have quite a challenge balancing the comedy and emotion aspects? Because it could have quite easily sounded very sort of Mickey Mousey music. But I mean, obviously, you know, it didn't. Did you find that a challenge?
In fact, every sequence was a challenge. You know, it's very, very hard for me to explain what is music for the silent, and each composer knows exactly what I said. But maybe I have an example for the a scene where Pepi Miller, on the film, the actress on the movie, goes to the hospital after the firehouse. Did you see the movie? Did you see? Yes. Okay. And so after the firehouse, we had many interrogations on it, which music could be placed on the arrival of Pepi at the hospital. So we first questioned what was it was a psychic toast or. Second, a global narrative atmosphere, or if it was a peak for the love scenes on Pepi and George, or was it a dramatical counterpoint, you know? We never agreed, in fact, and I think we didn't know what really we needed at this point. Things were cleared by grace to continuity of all sequences. But, you know, music and film are a strange chemical formula. So we, with Michel, we were always oppressed by time to finish the film. Only that. So last month, before the recording sessions, we were in an unconsciously spirit, Michel, me, and my team. So, because the cutting was always changing, it was very, very hard to follow and won the challenge of this this movie. It's only by time.
Now, particularly when you talk about some of the striking music in and the scenes from the film, I think Ghost from the Past is a brilliant scene. And I love the ferocity of your music with that. That was, along with that cue...
From the Ghost from the Past?
Was it the original idea, you know, to have the real piercing sort of brass and percussion? Was that always your...
Ghost from the Past was the main theme of the artist is the little piece of piano is called Comme une rosée de larmes, announced the beginning of the decline of the falling down of solitude of George. So it is a declination of Comme une rosée de larmes, à la Bernard Herrmann as we find particularly on this cue we listened the Cape Fear, you know, the overture of Cape Fear. The arrangement was inspired Ghost from the Past, you know. It was very a tribute to Bernard Herrmann. Because just after this Ghost from the Past, you have the Vertigo scene, you know. That's why we travel about another period, because the beginning of the movie we the music is 20s and to arrive at maybe for me a 40s style of golden age of music of cinema, American cinema. So that's why we use the code of Bernard Herrmann to serve him and to unchain the last sequence of suicide of George. We'll be right back.
Yeah, and then a good juxtaposition of the Ghost from the Past, of the George and Pepe theme, and I know it's one of your favourites.
Again, a mix of from the legendary. It's a very famous. I mean, it's Cole Porter too, or Gershwin, I don't know, but. The only person who inspired the American jazz big band or tap dancing or Broadway, in the theater was Duke Ellington. You know, Duke Ellington played in the Cotton Club, and each composer has Cole Porter or Gershwin or maybe other American musician going to the Cotton Club to every night to hear the maestro, the inspirator of the American jazz, Duke Ellington, inspired the everything. He's he create all of the music, all jazz part of the American music. For me, that's why that's what Ravel, Maurice Ravel, when he went to his first trip in USA, determined what were the style, or what was the style of the American, just classic European romantic composer with the black community who did made the blues and the jazz, and the mix of the both was what is now the American style, and what the found Max Steiner and the Alfred Newman, in fact all the wonderful and the most popular composer of the Golden Age.
Yeah, I mean, but you've got a great history with jazz, haven't you? Because I know you spent some time at the International School for Jazz in Paris, so you have that real love for jazz, don't you?
Yes, Paris is the capital of jazz. I mean, very influential for the jazz and respected the live of jazz music. But I'm not a specialist, in fact, of jazz.
Well, you could have fooled me. Maybe you're being modest. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the best scenes is certainly worth highlighting in the film, and certainly on the CD, is your piano solo during the sinking sand scene.
The Jew of Fear, the little the solo piano. You know, in fact, now it was, you know, Michel didn't want to. For me, when I proposed the first time, it was in the September, last September, when or end of August. But it was I composed six main themes at the beginning, between end of August and early September. So Michel received six themes. With Comme une rosée de larmes, as a dew of tears, I mean it's the English translation, and said to me, okay, these themes, Comme une rosée de larmes, the piano solo, is for him the main theme for the movie. So, but in this, I already changes the interpretation of Comme une rosée de larmes, but Michel need when he heard something, he doesn't like to change interpretations or other notes. That's why it's difficult for me to express in English what I say. But you, if you don't understand, you tell me. That's why the Comme une rosée de larmes on the CD is very naive on the innocence style or interpretation, because Michel didn't want another extension or elaboration of the interpretation. So you understand, and so that's why now I played this piece when I have the chance to play on TV show or I don't know where. I have another interpretation. I elaborate on the continuity of a piece, because for me it was at the period of the beginning of September, the just a demo, you know. But Michel, when he after he didn't want to change anything. No, don't stop. No other notes. Simply like that. Naive piano on that.
Oh, that's interesting, right? Okay, but then you as an artist, it's very hard to resist sort of tweaking and changing things, isn't it?
Yes. But you know, it's a director. The director, it's like the Vertigo scene, you know, because Michel put the Vertigo scene, the love theme from Bernard Herrmann, on the editing. So each composer knows exactly. Okay, you can change anything after that. Because it's unconsciously in the brain of a director and producer and many people who for the first time they discover this fabulous and imperial piece, you know. It's a movie, film, music is only a compromise. To do that with the editor of Stanley Kubrick, he's an Englishman. He's called Nigel Galt. He started as an editor of music from Full Metal Jacket, and after he finished their collaboration with Kubrick on his last movie. I don't know the name in English. Sorry. Eyes Watch Out, sorry. Nigel Galt, the first time I met him, he said to me, okay, Ludon, you know, film music is only compromise. You know, we laughed after that. And I know exactly what it is, this word. And so, voilà.
You compromise well, put it that way. Thank you. One of my favourite cues, and Ludovic Bors speaking there with me in mid-February. So let's now hear some of the glorious music that inspired this symphonic tour de force. Franz Waxman's Prince Valiant, the Charles Gerhardt National Philharmonic version. There's no comparison in my eyes and ears, so we'll hear that. Bernard Herrmann's Cape Fear, the Elmer Bernstein arranged and conducted version, for Scorsese's 1991 remake. By the way, the London Symphony Orchestra performed some of this score, but not a lot of people know that. And Max Steiner's Four Wives. Beautiful piano playing here by Earl Wilde. And finally, Dizzy Gillespie's The Champ.
Thank you. down.
Music from Dizzy Gillespie, The Champ. Just one of the pieces that inspired Ludovic Boris's superb The Artist. So thanks as always to Eric Woods, and thank you for listening. Let's hope that the symphonic score will continue to be cherished in today's films. Bye-bye for now.
You're listening to The Artist Soundtrack. Thank you. Goodbye.